This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Phenomenon, the tide, the grass, the ground. Oh, that was me, I was messing around. I killed a snake, I buried its guts, sprouted a tree, now you got coconuts. What's the lesson? What is the takeaway? Don't mess with Maui when he's on a breakaway. And the tapestry here in my skin is a map of the victories I win. Look where I've been, I make everything happen. Look at that mean mini Maui, just tickety tap, and singing and scratching, flipping and snapping. People are clapping, hearing me rap, and bring the chorus back.
James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon, it's Back Row and Chill. It's 4 o'clock. Well, just gone 4 o'clock, Friday. Welcome to the show. Today I'm joined by Kevin Freshwater.
I'm back.
He's back, baby. How was your poo?
My shit was nice.
Kevin nearly didn't make the start of the show.
Well, it was the train's fault, because, like, this, by the way, the Circle Line, avoid it. Hammersmith City Line, avoid it. I was 5 minutes to spare. I needed a quick poo.
I made it in time. Evacuate.
I'm a little out of breath.
What, from the poo or from the
running?
Okay. Well, you know, when you need to go, you need to go.
We need to go.
Welcome to the show. We've got a big packed show for you today. We are going to be speaking, Noel's going to be speaking to us in about 10 minutes, live from the set of his new film or TV show, whatever it is.
What's he doing?
I don't know. We're going to find out. He's been away for ages filming because he's, you know, that's his job. Any of you guys have got any questions that you want us to ask Noel Clark about what's going on, then just email in chill@fubarradio.com or tweet @FUBARRadio, and we're going to give Noel your questions and we'll give you a shout out
Do it.
We've got other guests on the show. We've got actor Phil Adele. We've got Harry Hugo, who is sort of internet branding manager man. Because the show is about, Background Chill is about film, it's about theatre, it's about entertainment as a whole. And now, as you're well aware, Kevin, a lot of entertainment is now online.
All of it. The best of it.
The best of it. Yeah, everybody from morning till night, or even through the night, everyone's on their phones, on their laptops, on their iPads, and you're getting entertained by
social
your Facebook
media,
feeds, your YouTube. It is the thriving. It's the, apparently TV's dying.
No.
Apparently so.
No.
Apparently more people watch things not
probably,
live.
That's probably true.
On like a catch-up service or some sort of, you actually use your internet more than you would a live TV.
No. Westworld.
Westworld! Oh my god. I haven't watched the final of Westworld, so do not. No spoilers, please. Anyone.
Just be prepared.
Or I will.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Have your mind blown.
I will be. I can't wait to settle down at some point this weekend.
There is no maze.
I'm going to kill you if you've given me a spoiler. What a little shit. Okie dokie. Got lots of music. We've got some games. We've got Christmas themed. Have we got Christmas themed? I can't remember what. I've planned a lot of games, basically.
Well, we played Christmas in November, so we should be playing Christmas in December.
Well, we are. We're playing a lot. I'm actually finally getting in the festive mood.
Oh, Christmas tree.
Yo, Christmas tree.
Oh, la, 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 oh, la, la, Christmas tree.
It's taken me a while, because you know when you just don't feel it, and you feel like...
I still don't feel it.
You feel like a Grinch. Okay, well, you'll be feeling Grinchy. And the other day, I walked past Somerset House in London, and there was this huge Christmas tree, and everyone's ice skating. And
I went to the one in the Natural History Museum, South Kensington.
Oh, yeah?
I was on there for 10 minutes. I was like, I got to get a drink. Not for me. Too much activities.
Too many exercise activities. Ice skating drunk. I mean, that could be quite good.
It was pretty amazing.
Was that, did you go on your own with friends?
I went on my own, just because I'm a loser. Of course I went with friends.
What? It could have been a romantic
date. Just strolling past,
date.
Me and myself.
Me, myself and I. Got myself a mulled wine.
Some hot chocolate.
Took myself around
the
ring.
Yes, I did. Got myself a boyfriend.
No, it's my Christmas mission. I want to go ice skating and get all festive. And,
do it.
And
do it.
And do that. I haven't got any presents yet. Have you got presents?
No.
I've got
you guys presents for the 15th for our... what is it you call it?
Oh, we're having a Christmas soiree. load of us who
is
are
that
sort
still
of,
happening?
Yeah, that's definitely still happening, although now we've announced it on the radio, I think everyone's going to think they're invited. But
I'll put the address into my Facebook later. And you just
No,
Johanna's house.
I'm organising a Christmas soiree for all the fun Facebook creators and YouTube creators that I've worked with this year. And, toasting to next year. Because
mulled wine?
Bit of mulled wine. I'll get mulled wine. I can't even say it.
Mulled wine.
I'll get the wine. I'll get the whiskey. That's fine. Oh, present. Okay, crap. Now I've got to get presents as well.
Nothing major. I've just got a couple.
Are you going to dress up as Santa and come out?
Nah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Maybe.
Oh.
I was actually going to do a video, Bad Santa, where I wrap up naughty presents.
Oh, like a dead rat.
Like dildos. And
oh, okay, that kind of naughty. Okay. My mind jumps
and
to like...
hand them out to the elderly. Merry Christmas, you ho, ho,
they
ho.
They would probably love it.
Probably.
Probably. Probably. Or be like, it's a massage, Anand.
Like dust.
Oh, too much. Too far. Right.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon.
The weekend's beginning. Let's go wild, but... Okay, maybe we should play something Christmassy as we are getting into the festive. I've got a couple of Christmas songs from some of my
favourite Christmas
time. Christmas movies. Right, I'm gonna go for a bit of Bing Crosby.
Who's Ben Crosby?
Who is Bing Crosby? He is like an old school
actor. I will know
actor.
It. Wait, remember what happens?
You'll know his voice.
I'll know
Let
his
me
voice.
Put. You will know his
do
voice.
It, do it.
It's sexy. It's sexual.
Is it hot?
And it is hot. And this is called... I'm going to try and attempt the name of the song. It's called Melikiliki Maka. And it's the Hawaiian Christmas song, and it's used in the movie National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's one of my favourite ever.
Woo!
Let's educate you on who Bing Crosby
is. Edumacation.
Merry Christmas, Kevin.
Melikiliki Maka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikiliki Maka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikiliki Maka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikiliki Maka is Hawaii's way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very, Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
What's poppin', son? It's Kent Jones. And usually I like to be in the front, but right now this is Back Row and Chill.
Yeah, man.
That is good. I feel all Christmassy now.
You feel all good? Yeah. We've got Kevin in the festive spirit. This is good. How are you guys getting festive at home? What is your Christmas tradition? How do you feel festive? What is it? Watching Home Alone, which I did watch recently. That Ooh. Normally gets the job
one
done.
One or two?
I watched one. I'm going to watch two.
Because three and four are pretty shit.
Three and four don't exist.
They don't even exist.
In my mind.
Damn, three and four.
No. It's got to be one or two. And the second one. I'm looking out for seeing Trump.
Ooh.
Trump is in number two. If you didn't know that, little factoid, first factoid of the day.
Oh yeah, in the hotel.
He's in the lobby, yeah. and
the lift's down that way, boy. I'm going to build a wall.
Excuse me, where's the lobby? He's like, go down there and turn right. But have you seen there's a meme going around the internet where he's like, excuse me, where's the lobby? He's like, oh, go down there and turn right, grab by the pussy.
I'm going to build a wall.
Build a wall around. Anywho, so let us know. Email in, we'll shout you out. What Christmas things do you do at home to get yourself
email us
in the spirit? Email us.
Do it
chill.
Now.
Chill
do it now.
At foobarradio.com. Right, a little bit of showbiz news.
Ooh.
What's going on in the world of entertainment? Stranger Things. Have you seen any Stranger Things?
No, but I've been told about it.
Oh, my heaven.
Is it good? Is it another good one?
Heaven forgive you, Kevin. It's fantastic. Really fun. Really good load
Damn,
of fun.
Damn, Daniel.
And anyway, the main girl from it, so it's about this boy, just as a quick, if no one doesn't know what the hell Stranger Things is. It's
I thought there was three little kids.
Yeah, it's okay. Set in the 80s, and it's about these four boys.
I like it already.
You love it already, yeah. Four boys, your best friends. One of the boys goes missing, and then they find this girl, but you're not sure if she's a girl at first, because she's got a shaved head, and she's a runaway from this, like, weird
She a
science.
Robot from Westworld.
She's a telepathic, so she can do crazy stuff. She's got powers, and she's a runaway from, like, a science experiment camp.
Decent.
And she hasn't got a name, she's just called number 11, and she is awesome. And so
I
she
am number two.
You had a number two. So the girl, the actress called Millie Bobby Brown, who kind of stole the show completely. She's so badass. She shaved her head for the role, and like she's just so
would you
amazing.
Shave your head for a role?
Yeah, I would actually.
Would you shave your head for a sandwich?
No.
For a role, but not a sandwich. See what I did there?
The days. Dad jokes are in. Kevin's in the house.
The uncle joke.
Oh, no, Christmas uncle joke. You've thrown me with my
Sorry,
joke.
Darling,
yes, I would
I'm
shave
sorry.
My head for a role. But Millie Bobby Brown, who's the actress from Stranger Things, she's relocated to LA with her family because she's from England. I didn't realise
oh,
as
wow.
well. She's English.
British.
She's British, but acting in American.
Cups of tea.
And she does it so well. I didn't even know until I saw an interview with her that she's so English. But guess how much she's able to you don't look at it guess how much is she able to get now for a film?
You do this to me every week. I don't know. Millions.
Yeah, 3 million per film is her like rough price.
Jesus.
Starting price.
How old is she? 11?
She's 11 years old. Well, she's 12 now.
Oh, one thing, sorry to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
David Beckham's son has a Christmas song out.
Yeah, isn't,
yes.
it, isn't he
and
like
it's, and it's okay.
Isn't he like a lion as well?
Yeah, I think so. What's it? Cruise? Is it
Cruise? Brooklyn Cruise?
One of the Beckhams.
The smaller one, isn't it? Cruise.
He's like a young Justin Bieber.
But is he as good as Justin Bieber? Is it all
potentially,
right?
Potentially. He's a Beckham darling.
He is one of the Beckham crew. Cruise.
Crew.
I just think that's insane. This girl was picked out of nowhere and she's on Stranger Things and now she can do 3 million per film and apparently when she turns 16 that can like double or triple.
Wow.
She's just got it sorted.
Hot.
I'm not jealous or anything. Okay, so Forbes, every year, Forbes magazine, they collate a most overpaid actor list.
Savage.
In the world. I know.
That's a bit mean.
Guess who's number one? The most number that he's paid the most but returns the less.
Go on.
Johnny Depp.
No.
Apparently so.
No way.
Johnny Depp is the number...
How can they put Depp at number one?
He gets paid the most money, but like sales-wise of his films, doesn't return the most money.
But he's done everything and been everyone and...
Uh-huh. But apparently so.
Screw and you, Forbes.
Second one is Will Smith. I think it's because their price tag is so high. The film has got to do amazing. And if they do a couple of dud films...
Oh, right, okay, I'm with you.
So
they're one of the two biggest actors, actors.
They're still the most overpaid actors. And then followed by Channing Tatum, Will Ferrell, George Clooney and Adam Sandler.
Wow, but they're all my top 10 favourites.
I know, they're all amazing actors and they've got funny films. It's just like,
they're the
most overpaid for what they are, for what they do. I love Elf. Oh, yeah.
Santa's coming!
Santa! It's crazy. Okie dokie. So, finally, my bit of news. They are making a real-life Barbie movie. Wait till you find out who's playing Barbie. They've cast Barbie, and it caused an internet, like, absolute kick-off.
Go on.
Amy Schumer.
Refresh me.
Oh, my goodness. Amy Schumer, she's the comedian, and she does films like Trainwreck, and oh, you will know her face.
I will know her face. I'm terrible with names.
She's blonde, and she's known for being, you know, a normal size girl, kind of curvy, size 12, 14 ish.
Daddy likey.
She's daddy likey. She's very funny. And
the name rings a bell. I would know her face.
Amy Schumer. Yeah, she's on Google. Amy Schumer. Anyway, she's been cast as Barbie in the new upcoming Barbie movie, and the internet went crazy because obviously she's not like super duper skinny. She's, you know, she got curves.
Feminism.
And
feminism?
She got fat shamed massively by everyone. Yeah, and so she replied to the internet basically saying, fuck you guys. I'm big and I'm beautiful and I'm going to play Barbie. So
real girls have curves.
Real women have curves.
Real women.
Yeah.
Real ladies. I'm fond of the ladies.
You're fond of the chub?
Fond of the chub. Sassy.
So Amy Schumer, yeah, give her a Google because I'm a huge fan of her. I think she's amazing and I think I would go and I wouldn't be interested in going to see a Barbie film, but I would if Amy Schumer plays her because she's really...
Who's playing Ken?
I don't know. Maybe you. You make a good Ken.
Damn right I'd make a good Ken.
Hey Barbie. Yeah, so that's pretty weird. Okay, anything else going on the show? No, that's all my showbiz news for this week. We're trying to get Noel on the phone. He's going to be our first guest if we can line up. But he's on set, so he's probably being run around and powdered by...
What's he filming? Do you not know?
I don't know if I can... I know. I don't know if I can Go say. I don't know if I can say.
Is it?
What?
Top Boy.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that's coming back for series 3. Is it Top Boy? I think it's called Top Boy.
Top Boy, yeah.
Yeah.
I always get confused with Top Gun.
Is Drake funding that?
Drake's funding Top Boy.
I heard that Drake is funding Top Boy. I heard, because he liked 1 and 2, series 1 and 2.
Wow.
And he's like, I wanted series 3.
I cannot...
That's what I heard for the grapevine.
I can't confirm or deny that, because I don't know. I don't want to give out the
wrong
thing.
We'll look into it on the next song break.
Right, okay. So, yeah, we're talking to songs. We've got... I've got another Christmas song from the Home Alone soundtrack, just to be a little bit mellow, because nobody's starting drinking. Well, I hope people...
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells.
Oh, it's not quite that one. Oh, no, it's called Please Come Home for Christmas. It's one of the more mellow ones from the soundtrack, but it's one of my Christmas songs. I just got an email in, rather embarrassingly, from my mother, who says,
"Hello, Mum.
As it's nearly Christmas and I've listened to every one of your shows, can you please dedicate a Christmas song to me and hello, Kevin?"
Hello, darling.
So that's my mother.
I look forward to meeting you.
Here
are you coming to the Christmas soiree?
I don't think parents should come to the Christmas soiree.
Come, I would like to meet you.
What stays in the soiree?
Johanna could call me my stepfather.
Can you stop me?
I'm joking.
Oh my God, Kevin Freshwater is hitting on my mum. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, let's get to the song. Cut to the song.
Myth.
Right, this is this is from Home Alone, guys. Kevin!
Bells will be ringing the glad, glad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone. I have no friends to wish me greetings once again.
Not for Christmas, by New Year's night. Friends and relations, send salutations. Sure as the stars shine above, for this is Christmas, Christmas, my dear. Time of year to be with the one you love. So tell me, darling, you'll never more own. Christmas and New Year's will find you home. There'll be no more sorrow.
James on FUBAR Radio.
So nice and chilled, a bit of Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
Right, now we're going to turn it up. We've got our first guest in the studio, live guest. We've got Harry Hugo.
Hey.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
No worries.
And everything, I'm just triple checking everyone's mic's up. Yes, it is.
Hello.
Right, we're also, Harry, we are, we've got four cameras in the studio.
Wow.
Well, so, are we live?
Are they like hidden cameras?
They're all around you.
Are we live?
We're not live yet, because we go Facebook Live every week for a portion of the show that will happen a little bit later on. But I sort of say this because we work on the internet, and you work kind of on the internet.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. You're like the road manager, stage manager of a lot of internet people. Would you like to introduce sort of what it is and what you do?
So the last sort of 18 months has been a massive boom with people online with large followings on Facebook like you guys, or Snapchat, Instagram, Vine was a massive pop, and then it's obviously gone off.
It's Vine stopped now, is it?
Vine's died.
I've never used it.
It was massive for some people, like
Six
Dapper
seconds.
Made it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Dapper went huge on
six,
there.
Six secrets.
Exactly, and he killed it, right? And then Snapchat's massively taken off, and you've got Twitter, which had a massive spike in like 09 to 11, and then it's kind of dying off now. But Facebook's gone through this resurgence, and YouTube's obviously been that kind of constant throughout.
Yeah.
What would you say was the biggest platform for you personally?
Right now, to sell brand deals and things like that for people like you guys, Facebook's massively on the resurgence, but YouTube's just been the constant one.
Yeah, YouTube's the
absolutely
king.
Yeah, but YouTube's hard to break
YouTube's
because
the
there's
daddy.
So many people doing YouTube, and it's been around since
the
beginning.
Yeah, and it's so difficult. It's so difficult to get the high quality content. Like, these guys are killing it, who've been doing it for years and years and years.
I noticed that Johanna's vlogging at the moment.
I've started a vlog,
How's that going?
I'm starting it with Jube. We've recorded last weekend. He went to meet my parents, and I thought, why not vlog it?
That'll be great. He's good for that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So we vlogged the whole experience, which was fun.
It's relatable. That's the sort of stuff that's gone so well. And that massively has spiked in the last 18 months. The relatable content, people with the Facebook tag your friends if you're thinking like that has just gone crazy. Whereas the last sort of 3 years before that, it was just all about, you know, things that you see and then you might tell a friend. But now with the tag a friend, like, it's just gone.
This is so you. This is so you. This is us.
Oh my god,
this weekend.
This dog looks like
I'm going
you.
To tag 130 people in this post because it reminds me of all of them.
I mean, that's why I like Facebook, actually, because I used to be a big watcher of YouTube, and I attempted a few years ago to do YouTube. I've got still
to do,
up
to do the YouTube.
I tried to do the
on
YouTube
on the line.
On the line, I did like kind of like beauty guru stuff.
Oh wow, and really, really transformed.
Yeah. Let's have a little look. What's
it's
that,
still online. It is still online. I've kept it up there
I'm
just for jokes.
It. I'm gonna watch it.
Also, kind of got a couple. We did get quite good views, so I kept it up there. But
12 views.
So I got 12 views. No, I got like 150,000 views. Ooh, on a couple of videos.
Okay, sure.
Which
enough
for YouTube is bad. Bro. Great story, bro. But yeah, like I used to watch a lot of YouTube, and that was what I do every night. More than TV, I just go on YouTube and YouTube, yeah, and YouTube, and I'd.
Yeah, it's a habitual thing where Facebook now has completely taken over because it's, yeah, just there.
Yeah.
And people are tagging you all the time. You're getting notifications where YouTube's just, you know, people go back onto it on, yeah, the evening.
You just kind of roll through it yourself. But that's what I like about Facebook, because when I realised that you could get, yeah, you can get tagged in stuff and you can share it just by click of a button. So it's,
and it's
so
changed
much
a lot
easier
over the years. It's ridiculous change. I remember when it first came out, I hated it. Like,
Facebook.
Ah, fucking, I'm never going to Facebook.
Yeah.
What a load of shit that is.
Facebook's like been a roller coaster of the last 10 years. Like you said, yeah, like, it was, yeah, massive. Like, all the kids were on it from universities. And then it went through this phase of like 3 years where all parents started to get on it, grandparents.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
cats.
I don't want to be, yeah, I don't want to be here. Everyone cats went to Twitter and Instagram. And now the video resurgence.
I do like the gram.
Massive.
I do like the gram.
Yeah, come back. Yeah, there you go.
Come back.
Is that your platform of choice?
Facebook. Facebook is my platform, but I'm a bit sick of it all in a minute. I don't, you know, I don't post ever anymore. I
just, well, that's no good.
You need to get back on it.
I'm that whole like
in the new year. Get
see,
back on it.
Yeah, of course. I've got a few things lined up, but the whole like
the money's
Kevin
in.
Fresh,
I'll post. I'll post what you want.
What, you lost me now. Train of thought. I hate the fact that, like, if you don't post about it, you, like, people just assume you, like, they look at me, I'm here,
yeah,
look at me,
yeah,
I'm doing this, look at where I'm eating, I'm at STK, I'm at this place, I'm on the roof terrace, like,
yeah,
fuck off. Pretty much. So I know that sounds bad. That's how I got sick of that side of it.
Yeah, I'm finding that a little,
look at me, look at me.
I never used to do Instagram. My Insta, I literally occasionally would just put up like, oh, I'm having a burger or whatever, and then suddenly as a, like a flow through from all the other social media is my,
yeah,
Instagram's,
yeah,
growing, and like,
yeah,
I was like, oh my,
yeah,
god, there's like
the pressure,
there's like, I feel, yeah, like I should put, I feel like I should take a selfie. And weirdly, I've noticed that they're the ones that get the most likes. I'm like, really? I'm not into, I'm not a selfie person, naturally. I don't really do selfies and whatever.
Yes, you do. You,
no,
love,
I don't,
a selfie.
Check, I saw you doing it, one on the way in.
Check my Instagram.
It was actually selfies that started it off for me. Selfies with strangers. I just go up to people and just,
oh, that was
not
your first Facebook,
yeah,
video that you,
yeah,
did that went,
and,
viral.
And it was only a publicity stunt to promote my clothing company at the time. I didn't plan to be a video content creator. It just kind of
happened.
It
kind of happened
overnight, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
that, lots of people find that they stumble upon one piece of content. There's a few guys that we know really well and work really closely with that, you know, just did that one piece of content that they've been thinking up or chatting with their mates with for years, and they just finally went, oh, fuck it, I'll,
yeah,
just do it.
But sometimes I find that if I think, oh, this is gold, this is a great idea, I put it online, it does shit. I'll put it on and see how this one does, and it fucking gets millions and millions,
yeah,
of views. I'm like, really, people?
I had no idea when I, my viral videos, I had
80 million plus. Let's just have a run.
No, come on.
I like wrote them and had these ideas, and at the time, the guys that I make my videos with, like my boyfriend and his camera guy, they weren't too buzzed about it. They were like, oh, well, we'll put it on your channel. Like,
not, oh, what a mistake.
Not really.
Screw you, Jib.
No, they're like, we're not really that. Maybe for your channel. We'll be a Johanna James original, this one. And I was like, okay. And I made it, edited it, put it online, and then suddenly
it
just merely. And then they went, oh, shit.
So maybe we can like cross share that
video. But Harry, so what do you do as a job now? So you work behind the scenes, you work with these people who are creating this,
yeah,
content.
So we at the Go agency, we work with all these guys and put them into campaigns with brands. So we work with people like Apple, BBC Sport, we work with people like KFC, British Airways,
oh, wow,
and all these sort of guys.
McDonald's? I've been seeing a lot of McDonald's ones floating about.
McDonald's,
lately.
Yeah, and they've obviously got another agency deal, but they're doing a lot of stuff.
I've seen a lot.
Like
Joe Tasker,
yeah.
Who's that other girl, the singer? Samantha Harvey.
Yeah. So they're doing really well, and they're kind of tapping into this influencer world across all these different platforms. And yeah, we sell to brands like all the TV networks used to do and the radio networks. We sell advertising space effectively, and we sell that through influencers and the space that they create on social media. So,
mm-hmm,
if you get 20,000 views on your Snapchat, that has a cost, that has a worth if,
yeah,
an advertiser want to pay for it. Same that,
mm-hmm,
you know, if ITV2 had a...
Crazy, isn't it? Because
it's
a bit mental,
yeah,
people
crazy
willing to pay.
I've
for
fallen
it
into it out of kind of just love for doing this sort of stuff,
mm,
online. And we had a company before that was a sports app company. And I was right at the start of that, and my two other co-founders at Go, we started that. And
what's the name of your company, sorry?
Go Agency now.
Goat Agency.
There's all sorts of synonymous meanings. but Sport Lobster was the first thing. We raised 17 million quid of investment. We did really well. We had 2.5 million users in 2 years. Cristiano Ronaldo was our headline ambassador.
Fuck.
NFL, NBA sponsorship.
Did you get to meet everything as well?
Yeah, we did. We had an awesome 2 years.
Yeah, a bit.
And we realised what worked and what didn't. And influencers drove 95% of our growth. But we put very, very little
spend.
Strange,
because I've never received an email.
So we left that company and went, okay, hold on, there's more money to distribute to these guys and work better. And if we actually work this out together and create cool campaigns and creatives, then there's far more value to be driven. And that was 18 months ago when there was three of us, and now there's 15 of us in the company. We raised no money because we wanted to do it.
Is it your company or just work?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, well done.
Oh, nice.
It's going well. We work.
Do you have a boyfriend? Are you looking for one?
I can be taught to do anything.
Go get myself a boyfriend.
if it's a spawn, and maybe we can work something out. But no, there's all sorts of stuff that we do, and we do it with the biggest brands in the world, which has been incredibly fortunate.
Well done.
A small amount of time, but yeah, it's really exciting, and there is a lot changing in this space, and you know, you sort of guys are leading the way in the content.
It's been a little while.
You start doing some more selfies in the street.
Yeah,
because I get a lot of messages from people who they want to do it as well, which is this is what I love about the internet entertainment world, as opposed to like maybe the traditional TV, film, whatever. Because obviously to be in a movie, there is a lot of, it's very hard to get through the doors and the training and the whatever. However, with the internet, it is kind of an open world. If you can get yourself a camera and you have the talent and you can...
Yeah, but you say a network, this is a touchy subject for me, okay?
Okay.
I watch some people's content, no names, and I really want to say a couple names. I'm not gonna. I'm
no
gonna
names,
keep it. I'm
it
gonna
keep with it. Schmack schmoon.
That's one.
Okay.
Again, you've just ruined my trait. Okay, so.
They get terrible content creators. They've got a lot of followers. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Gabby T, fat lesbian looking middle aged. There's a few others as well, but they get put on. Not so much with Schmack Schmoon. There's another name. I ain't gonna say it.
Okay.
I'm potentially gonna be working with him soon. They get put on by big companies. So Fortify, the page.
Yep.
Colour Switch.
Yeah.
The content's crap. They get all this exposure from this company because they're putting Colour Switch in their videos. And then they don't deserve all these millions of followers that they've received.
Are you talking about me?
No,
I'm not going to say.
You, you, it, again, it depends. I'd even do it. He approached me at Christmas time last year and then I weren't really doing videos. I would personally do it because... It does help blow you up. But some people, they don't deserve that massive following and all them views they're getting. And that might sound a bit like...
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Some people work really hard and never had any help
to get to all them views and get to what they're doing.
And that is amazing. And there's some content creators
on
YouTube.
They blow up overnight because they know the right people and they're getting the right shares.
Yeah, but that's life, right? That's
But
there's people on YouTube like pushing out like 2-3 videos a day of like 10-20 minutes, and I'm like, how can you do that? It's incredible.
Yeah.
And you look at all these other guys, and some people post once a week and it's like a 30-second thing or whatever, and it's just a quick sorry to the there's a lot of sorry to your fans, and that seems to be quite a thing at the moment.
Guys, I've just been told that we have Noel Clark on the line.
Wow.
He's live from the set of where he is, so we're just going to pop over to him and get a bit of goss from backstage. Let's see if this works. Nolington, are you there?
I'm here, baby.
Are you with
me?
On my show.
Hey, baby.
I'm keeping your seat nice and warm. Don't worry, I've got your seat nice and warm.
Who is it? I'm on set. I haven't been listening.
Oh, this is Kevin Freshwater.
Hello.
He's filling in for you. Kevin.
How's it going? You all right?
I'm good,
I'm keeping your seat nice and warm. It's all right. I've got it toasty for you when you get
that
back.
That fucking chair gives me trouble, mate. Yeah.
Every week, Noel breaks the bloody chair. So, where are you? What's happening with you? Where are you?
Mate, I'm in the middle of fucking buttfuck nowhere, mate. I've got trees everywhere, fucking trees everywhere, it's dark, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I'm on set, I can't tell you what it is.
Oh, is it a secret? Hush. Okay.
Well, it's secret, you know, we're a film show, we talk about films and shit like that, and you know, sometimes, but you know, my other job is when I'm actually on the films, I can't tell you where I am. But when I'm not on the films and I'm on the show, mm-hmm. I can tell you every fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Need to know basis.
On a need to know. So you're filming outside. We can get
in the dark.
We can. Yeah. You're,
in butt fuck nowhere.
That could mean anything.
Yeah. Exactly. Basically, now if this was Blair Witch 3, I'd believe it. I'm like fucking the trees and branches and shit in front of me. And I come outside to make sure I get on the show because it's the Christmas one and it's the last one. And all the listeners that have supported myself and Johanna and Kevin and everyone else that have filled in,
yeah.
Obviously we're very appreciative, but, you know, obviously when I'm not there because I'm filming, you know, Johanna holds the fort, you guys take over, and it's you know, we're all very appreciative and it's great, and I just wanted to make sure that I get on and thank the listeners and all that kind of shit. And,
someone's,
you know,
definitely got the Christmas spirit.
Daddy's back next week. Daddy's back next week.
Daddy? Fuck it, I love
that. Who's your daddy?
Daddy, mate.
Radio daddy.
Radio daddy, so yeah. Mum loves it as well.
She's already emailed in.
My mum's already emailed in today. She's on it. She's there.
What's she saying today?
She wanted to get a shout out for a Christmas song.
Oh, mate, did you play a song?
Which I did. I played her a song.
Great. That's great. Well, you, Mrs. White, you know that daddy's going to be back with a big bar of chocolate in the new year. You and your daughter, so it's going to be all good.
Can everyone stop hitting on my mum today?
This is so painful. I need to see a photo.
She needs a bit. So what's happening? What did you review today? What films are you talking about today?
Well, we haven't done any reviews yet, but I went to see last night. What did I go and say? I went to see Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, sounds terrible.
Oh my God, no! It's the Oscar nominated. Come on, Noel.
Oh, great! I should get that in my. I should be getting that in my membership selection soon.
No, absolutely. And like, I went, you know, just trying to be open minded, and it was really good. Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's little brother. It's like the lead guy, and then Michelle Williams.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you can see I obviously don't keep up to date when I'm not actually on the show.
Yeah, you're in the woods.
I'm in the woods, mate.
Literally.
Fucking Blair Witch.
Making
the great. And what else is happening?
I also went to see last night, the same night, I did like a double film review. And then I went to see a screening of The Room, which is not Room. The recent film, it's called The Room, and it was made in 2001, I think, by Tommy
with the little kid, and she's stuck.
No, that's called Room.
That is a good one.
No, so you're the film you're talking about. It's supposedly the worst film.
The worst film ever made, and it gets shown once a month in London, and it's a comedy screening, and it was an amazing experience. Everyone was heckling and shouting and laughing and ad libbing. It was actually a really good night out.
Oh, brilliant!
And here's a bit of movie trivia for you guys. Johanna, you probably know this.
Mm.
There's a film that we're doing at the minute called 10x10.
Yep.
Which has been announced as starring Luke Evans and Kelly Reilly. And the name of that film used to be called what? Why did we have to change the name? What was it called?
The Room.
It was called The Room.
Ah.
People thought that, People thought that the rub of, firstly, the shittest film of all time called The Room, and also the fact that there was an Oscar film called Room last year.
Is that the one with the little girl? The Oscar one. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. It's actually a little boy, I think.
I remember. They had long hair.
It's a little boy with long hair.
Yeah, I thought it was a girl.
2016, mate. Boys can have long hair.
I know, I've got long hair. Curly long hair.
It's so pretty. Looks like an angel. Yes.
Yeah, great.
So I'm excited about that. And on Manchester by the Sea was very good. It was like, it was long, and it was at first 5 minutes I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those independent, like, make me think really slow. Yeah. But no, it's really gripping and really beautiful. And it's a kind of about this guy whose brother dies, and he has to go back to this town called Manchester-on-Sea and sort out all the what happens after someone dies. And it's kind of the fallout, how each of the family members cope and don't cope with this. And there's humour in it as well, but then also drama. And I thought it was great. Well, I understand why the Oscar people are going, woohoo.
That sounds awesome. I'm so happy, because considering thought it sounded terrible, now knowing it's going to be one of the best films of the year, I've just won, haven't I? That's like a win-win.
It's a win-win.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you wander into Manchester by the Sea, I said to people, I'm going to go and see Manchester by the Sea, and they're like, what? You're going to Manchester? What? I'm like, no, it's a film, it's good, Casey Affleck, and it made me cry, made me laugh.
Well, everything makes you cry. So
I got all the feels. I'm emotional, okay? I'm an emotional person.
I don't think our show's on next week, Joe.
What?
Which is why I'm on the phone today.
No, no, we're on next week. It's the last show of the year.
Don't make her cry.
No, don't cancel.
Check with the producers out there. out the window. What's
they're,
that saying?
They're waving yes to me. There is a show next week.
Oh, well, you tell her. She fucking told me there wasn't. She's trying to get rid of me.
Ooh, she's got all red.
Beef, beef.
She's going to get a spank. She's going to get a spank.
Daddy's going to spank you.
Okay. Oh, great. Well, what the fuck am I doing on the phone if there's a show next week? Fuck all of you guys. I'm going back to fucking Blair Witch Country. But thank the listeners for thanking the listeners for tuning in as usual.
Yeah,
I'll love you and leave you because I got films to make.
Okay, cool. Right. Thank you, babe. Thank you, babe.
Natalie, you're going to get such a spank next week. It's going to be unbelievable.
She looks excited. She looks happy and pleased.
Mate, she fucking loves it. Don't let her think about that. Johanna, baby, I love you. Kev, thank you.
See you later.
Sorry, who else was there?
This is Harry Hugo. He's an internet whiz. He's with us.
Harry Hugo, my man. Thank you, brother, for turning up on our show.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in from the woods.
Thanks for calling in from the woods. Survive, mate. Survive.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Keep your head down. All right. Bye. Over and out. Bye. Right. There we go. That was Noel from the woods. Didn't give us very much information about what he was doing in the woods, but he's filming something, and I know what he's filming, and I can't say either.
Tell us, you bitch.
I can't.
Do it.
Nope. He's filming. No, I can't.
Did it rhyme with Schmish Martian?
He's not with Schmack Schroen, is he?
He's filming with Schmack Schmoans in the woods. No. As soon as he's able to announce it, obviously he'll tell all the goss on Background Chill at a later date. But he's very, very busy. Right, we're going to pop to a song and then we can come back and talk a little bit more internet ins and outs. So, I'm going to go for, does anyone know the series True Blood? Has anyone seen
it? The vampire thing?
Yes. Well done.
Good synopsis.
10 points.
10 points to Gryffindor.
To Gryffindor.
I'm going to sliver in.
Are you? Mother the sexual uncle joke. Right. This is the opening theme tune from True Blood, and I just love it. I love that show, and it's about set in like the deep.
Is it
south.
The two guys and the girl and?
Yep.
Yeah.
The deep south.
Never
where
seen
this,
it.
A waitress falls in love with the vampire. And then she finds out, like,
still a better love story than Twilight.
Well, it's set in the whole. It's like an anti. This came out around the time of Twilight, but it was like an alternative because Twilight was so like vampires didn't even have teeth and they were just like all glittery and like emo. But this is like true kind of Game of Thrones style vampires. There's a lot of blood, a lot of sex, a lot of fun, It's all in the deep south.
No, which I'm watching
like,
tonight. I guess.
I was like, I
great
set
Friday night.
Alone in my hotel room.
It's sad times. Okay, so this is Bad Things, theme from True Blood. You're listening to Back Row and Chill.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. Don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you. Shadows there, filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I wanna do real bad things with you. Do bad.
bad things with you.
Grow and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Sexual.
I'm just noticing how good you are with that.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know how to do radio until I tried this.
That was my next question.
I had to learn how to do this. Yeah. But it's very fun. It looks like
I'm worried that if I was to touch any of those buttons, the radio would just go off.
Go for it. I mean, do you want to touch one of those? Touch one of those. Touch my button, Harry. Go on.
Which one?
Any 11, one that you like. 11. Just whatever you.
Oh hell no! That's my favourite one. Oh hell no! Yeah,
that's my favourite one. And when does that get used?
It's when I disagree with something. I'm like, oh hell no!
Do some more.
What, another one?
Yeah, one more.
Okay.
Nice.
I want the world to know. Got to let it show. Same. I'm coming up.
Bit late on that one, Kev. Right, so back to Harry. We've still got Harry Hugo in the studio. We're talking all things sort of internet, entertainment, what the future of entertainment, I believe, is on the internet.
Yeah, same.
So what platforms do you guys really see as the next sort of emerging ones?
I don't, at the minute, there's
you
nothing.
You just can't be asked in general. Yeah.
Don't ask me. How dare you?
Snapchat. I've heard rumours from people I've had meetings with and
well,
stuff.
Well, I think Snapchat's the biggest, like, for yeah, making exactly. money if you've got the big followers.
Yeah, so Snapchat, people have said, like, grow Snapchat.
But we're not sellouts. We don't make any money. We do it all for you guys. We do it just for the fun.
The audience.
Just
for
everything's
the fun. For the
everything's
audience.
For the audience. The fans.
No, I think that's changed. I think in the last 18 months, there's been a understanding from the audience more so that you have to get paid
ads,
in order to
ads
get...
Ads used to get all, like, you sell out.
Yeah,
like,
used to get a lot of hate.
You'd lose followers.
I think followers. It's changed
it
a bit.
It has changed,
now.
It has.
As long as you're still creating good content that's true to the content you've been creating whilst you were growing, yeah. I don't think people care that much.
I think people, you know, like some people get annoyed at adverts on TV. That, oh, it's the adverts, fast forward, or I'm going to go out.
That similarity.
But I think then they like the John Lewis advert when it's good and they engage with it, that's the same thing.
But like, people, they understand true. That there are, but now people, it's just the adverts, you know.
It's and like, it's the same as before, like in England, especially America, which is fine. They would all do comedy sketchy stuff, yeah, and that used to do shit. Really bad, yeah.
You can't swear on the radio.
I know. I keep fucking forgetting that.
Everybody
swear.
Just says it quietly shit. Into the mic.
Yeah, no, I forget because I swear a lot, and then I think shit, I'm on the radio. And I remember you can fucking swear at FUBAR Radio.
You can.
Yeah, comedy sketches used to do well in England. Really didn't do well.
No.
Yeah. And I think it's just this year that they've really done well. And I think you and Jube influenced that a lot.
People don't understand how the amount of time we're making like 1 minute 45 second videos max. Maximum.
But you take all day
but
to film
they,
that.
It takes hours and hours, and then writing them, editing them, yeah. like it.
And you scrutinise every little, like, oh, should we use that? Should we film it again?
Yeah.
And then you like
it takes forever in a day, and we love doing it. That's why we do it because I love the creative process of it. But it is really hard to do that in your spare time. It has to be a job. And I think people are more they would prefer to have adverts and work with brands
if they got more content
and if they get more of your content because people just
same
want more
thing
videos
with TV shows that they like they're happy to watch or see the adverts or sit through the adverts because they actually want to see that
show.
Get recommissioned
mm-hmm.
it's true
same, it's exactly the same thing and that's kind of the move from TV into all these different platforms and Snapchat is going to be massive in that
so I never Snapchat I never do it
oh come on man
I struggled to when I was like, on I struggled to just do Instagram and Facebook like, I never tweeted never done any of that stuff because I'm not really social media wise I don't understand
even though you have a massive following on social media
I know but it was all accidental like, it was never planned
you're like the
to
Mr.
Be
Bean of social media yeah. Oh,
but I don't get like
you stumbled across
URLs and I don't understand
I shall teach you young Jedi of the ways of the internet
but. Thumbnail what's a thumbnail
oh my goodness Kevin! No, absolutely. So, I mean, moving forward with your job, what is the sort of in the future you would like to be able to liaise shows or brands with?
I think the brands are getting smarter and smarter, and they have really smartened up in the last 6 months. You know, when we started the company, it was very, very. Early doors in terms of influencer marketing and how they wanted to approach it and the kind of budgets they were spending on it and they were testing things and they were skeptical of whether it worked and whether these ads, you know, were widely thought of as ads, and people cared, or if they didn't care, if the audience engaged, and that's changed hugely now.
Because everybody's on it now,
and
isn't
it works. Yeah. Like, simple as that.
So, I mean, are you just like the middleman, or do you have an actual platform with you share content?
No, I'm the middleman.
Yeah, so, which is the key to any business. Just we introducing Peter to Paul. And,
We sell to the brand. We say this is the the brand that we want to work with, this is the campaign that we want to do, and then these are the influencers and the content, the creators.
You never thought about setting up your own platform to...
No. Well, we had the social network, the sports social network, and that was our precursor to this company that we've got now, and we left that because we saw such an opportunity in this influencer space.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's blowing up and all the new platforms that allow new influencers and the new features, you know, Instagram Live comes out in like next couple of weeks.
Does it?
And people will go, oh my God, this is amazing. And
of course it does, because Instagram's just copying everyone else. Yeah. In the world, Instagram's just saying like, oh, stories, put that on. Oh, live, put
but
that on.
But they was the first filters. They was the first one to have filters.
But what,
oh,
Instagram?
Little ding. Go and take your time. It's fine. We'll wait.
Work never stops. So just to sort of close, I'm imagining if any of our listeners, because if anyone is sort of budding creators and they want to
email in.
But also, what is the sort of minimum goals that people need to try and achieve before brands would it can translate into hobby to job?
Yeah, I think the main thing is, and we talked about this quite a lot at Go, and when we talked to lots of different creators. If you're going into being a creator in order to chase money, this is not the job for you.
No,
you
guys know that, right? Don't chase it.
If you're chasing money, you're going to create content that isn't true to you, and that's just not going to resonate with the audience. And
think of it more of like a perk that you're doing something that you love to do, and somebody's willing to pay to do it. Then,
exactly.
Because it's this life goal. It's like, oh, I'm quit my day job and make funny videos.
Yeah, and there's always a niche, right? And so there's always a product in your niche. So if you're a gaming influencer, and obviously people have made shitloads of money from gaming,
they have.
You know, but if you'd have looked at that 10 years ago, you'd go, oh, they're never going to be able to do anything. McDonald's aren't going to be able to pay for them to do anything. Well, actually, there's so many brands that can pay for them to do stuff. So, you know, all those different things have to come into it. And if you're creating content that obviously you started that you loved, then that's what makes a real difference. And then you grow because you love it and you keep doing it and you're doing it consistently, which is what you obviously were starting to do at the beginning. And then brands get
and it does open a lot of doors. We did do a lot of travelling, went to America a bit, went to Ireland, all off the back
and that's cool.
Just making videos. It's
cool stuff happens. But people assume because... YouTubers, they make a hell of a lot of money.
I think only the top
YouTubers.
KSI, he's a millionaire now. He's got his own movie.
The top YouTubers, but I'm talking about when I had a viral video and they were like, whoa, it went like 800 million views, and they were like, you must be loaded.
No,
I was like, I didn't make a single penny off that video. I just made it for love because
they monetize Facebook. Are you not monetized?
No,
and I just missed.
She's not bitter about it.
I mean, I would have been loaded if I was monetized.
Then between them two videos, if you was monetized on Facebook and that 80 million, I don't even want to tell the figures. I'm not even going to tell them the figures.
It would have been good.
She would have made a lot, double. She would have had a comma. There would have been a big comma.
I would have taken home a comma.
I think 20,000 is probably the mark where you have to really start. And it's different for different platforms. Instagram, you're probably looking at 20,000 to 50,000 before you really start getting noticed. But again, it depends on the niche.
So for you as a company, how many followers? Facebook, for example, how many followers?
20,000.
Right? That's Instagram, and then Facebook's higher because the engagement rate's so much worse because of the
reach.
What
would you say on Facebook views and following wise? What would you say was the cutoff?
Probably 50,000. Fans, but you have to be getting
followers, likes.
But then the growth has to be on the views and actually how many engagements you're getting, the likes, because that's actually what you genuinely sell. The reach is good.
And my reach is stronger than my following because
that's great. That's the easiest
thing
to sell.
It's very, very big in the UK. So if I'm out in Essex, where I'm from Brentwood, if I'm out on a night out in Brentwood, everybody recognises me. Everyone wants photos. I love it. I enjoy it. It's a good feeling because you're getting recognised for what you do.
You get boost,
And I go, but they don't actually follow me. They've seen me on the Unilads or the Lad Bibles or the other platforms.
Yeah.
And they don't. I go, we don't actually follow you, but they know you.
Cheers, guys. Cheers, man. Loyal.
Bitch.
Take a second.
Get your phone. No? I'll do that for you.
Here, let me. Allow me. Yeah, like when girls ask for your number, just be like, here, this. Just like that for
just
me.
Like that.
Right. Thank you so much, Harry, for coming on.
That's okay.
I really like the fact that we can talk about social media as well. And I am in talks with some of the guys at Unilad to come on the show and give us a kind of weekly top viral video rundown and things like that. So I'm trying to incorporate film, TV, theatre and social. So thank you so much, Harry, for
Alex
coming
Hoban?
On. Yes?
Yeah, he's coming down.
He's coming down.
I like
down.
Him.
Nice.
Right, okay, we're going to pop to another song. Woo. So I'm going to go for... Oh, how far... What shall I do? Office Christmas Party.
That's always going to be a hit.
Have you seen the movie? I've seen it. I'm going to discuss it afterwards, but I'm going to play you one of the songs from, because it's called Super Jam, and it's like a Deck the Halls remix. It's pretty cool. So let's just go to that. And then we've got our next guest, Phil Adele, in the studio after 5 o'clock.
James on FUBAR Radio.
So we're all pumped drinks now for a night out. And
yeah.
Ouch.
Shots.
Shots fired. Yeah.
Nothing says Christmas like a migraine.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Phil Adele, actor, an old friend.
Hello.
We used to work together many years ago on like a telephone helpline.
Yeah, how do you describe that without saying the name of the company? Is the question.
It was a telephone helpline where people could call in to help. We were helping them. It was basically a phone. We were in a phone centre.
It was a glorified call centre.
Call centre,
yeah.
Basically.
We're trying to sound posh, but it was a call centre.
Huh? They called something.
Call centre. Cold calling.
Yeah.
No, we weren't calling out. They were calling us, which I thought initially would be better.
And it wasn't.
But it's not, because people who call helplines are very angry and very upset, yeah. And very...
You're 44 in the line. Your call is very important to us.
It's really not. Yeah. It's really not.
And yeah, that
Hello,
was...
Hello, Johannes Bacon. Well, can I help you with, darling?
That's exactly what I did.
Pretty much.
No, it was very stressful and fun. But it was great because I got to meet a whole bunch of really cool actors and we made friends. And
yeah, man.
We bonded.
Bondage.
So I haven't seen you in a while, Phil.
Yeah.
What have you been up to in the world of the industry?
Crazy, really. Like, this year's actually been really good for me because I know everyone will tell you as an actor that it's been a shocking year. It's just no work, no auditions, really tough. But this year, I've had a really good one.
Not for me!
Pat on the back!
me a little bit smug in the corner. I've been in constant work, actually. So, yeah. No, I've just finished a big tour of Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep.
Which was... Wow.
Awesome.
I used to love that movie.
I miscalled that earlier. Rocky Shop of Horrors. Like,
yeah, everyone gets the two mixed up.
I was like, is that Rocky Little
different.
Shop?
Oh, well, I've never
that Rocky Little
up.
Shop of Plants and Things.
Yeah.
So yeah, just did that for 4 months, like a UK tour of that, which was wicked.
So you literally went around the whole of the UK.
Yeah.
Feed me, Seymour.
That you should not have been in that show. But yeah, no, around the whole UK, Scotland, Ireland,
wow.
Wales, well, the UK. I can name
traveled.
All the countries if you like. But yeah, travelled it all. It was wicked. Like 4 months, so it was pretty intense. But
4 months away, or did you get to pop back?
At the start, I popped back because the venues were nearer to London. So I was coming back every other week or so. But then when you're going up to Glasgow, to
can't
Sheffield,
really
to
back.
Belfast,
it's
or wherever, it's
really.
Not worth it for like a day or two in London. So. But yeah, it was quality, really good.
Brilliant.
The responses were awesome, so it's nice to feel like you're in something good. Because a lot of time as an actor, you're in something and you're like, I'm doing this for the credit, and it's not very good. But that I was proud to be in, honestly proud to be in. So yeah, it was wicked.
I'm in a play, it's called, and it's showing.
And it's showing in that place, and tickets were sold out, so you can't go.
Oh, you missed it, what a shame. And that's, doing something you're proud of, that's really cool.
Yeah, man, that's it, exactly. So yeah, there's that, there's a couple of TV things I filmed, which I can't talk about.
Okay.
But, yeah, I hate even mentioning that. Like, cause I do it on my podcast as well. We'll talk about, oh, I filmed this thing. It's really awesome, but I can't tell you what it is. It's kind of just cryptic nonsense.
Yeah.
But so yeah, a few things in the pipeline, which is good. Pretty
That's
busy.
Good.
Yeah, I can't complain.
It's good
cool.
when you
can't
film
complain,
something
man.
Because you film it and then a lot of time passes and then you still have stuff to come out. So even when you finish the job,
that's it.
You've still like, what are you doing? Well, I filmed this thing last year. It's coming out next year. So
yes.
Technically, I'm still working.
That's it. Yeah, you can just pretend you're still in work the entire time until everything's released, and then
you're like, oh crap.
Then you're like, right, great. I'll eat bread. For 2 months. Yeah, I'm gonna live on beans and tea, and that's it.
So, how did you become an actor? What was your journey? What have you done?
Really random journey, because I started off as a kid as a musician, which still ties into a lot of what I do now. I still sing, I still play guitar, I play several instruments and write music and run a review website and all stuff. And basically, it started as a kid. I was in the school musicals, which I think everyone did, even if they now would be horrified to be
Bethlehem.
Huh?
Bethlehem at Christmas?
I did one nativity when I was like 4 years old, and it was excruciating even then. But yeah, it didn't put me off. So then, like, did school like Grease and all the ones that everyone does at school.
Who did you play in Grease?
I was Kinnicky.
Oh,
so I got to do a little bit of Grease Lightning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, and then from there I kept on with the music, and I had a really bad experience with my A level music teacher. He basically hated me. And I went, well, sod music, not doing that. And then I went, what else do I love doing? I love acting. So I started auditioning for drama schools, moved to London, 10 years ago now? And that's kind of where it all took off from there. So
kept going,
as you have to. Do you know what I mean? You just, once you know it's what you want to do, it's
Don't
such
give
a
up.
It's such a slow grind to get to anywhere. So as long as you're passionate about it and you keep going, that's it, man. Exactly. If you don't have
the
that.
Universe.
I'm not into that. I haven't read The Secret, as no, everyone else seems to
I've
have read.
Watched the TV.
There's a movie coming out about that.
Is there really?
Yeah.
There's a Freudian
maybe a documentary about it.
Then there's a full-on movie, because I saw someone saying couldn't read the book but looking forward to the movie. So,
oh man,
if you've read the book The Secret, or if you haven't read the book The Secret, it's going to be a movie.
Yeah, but
next year.
That mentality is super popular though. Everyone who's vaguely positive these days says, oh yeah, have you read The Secret? It's like, there's other ways to be positive.
Yeah. You know, think happy.
Think happy.
Cool. Okay. And so what? And so you've are you more of a film or a theatre? Like, where do you tend to...
More theatre.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. I don't know why. Like, I think it's... I've had more experience doing theatre for sure. And I really get a kick off that live anything can go wrong aspect of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like radio.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What could possibly go wrong?
Kevin! And what went wrong is you invited me on your radio show.
How did I work this? I've been doing it right.
But yeah, like, even Little Shop, like, we just had, like... Once, I won't even name him, an actor just didn't go on stage for his scene.
Oh.
And you've got a live audience.
What, like, just like, I'm not going on. Like,
no, just forgot.
Oh.
Like, sat in his dressing room, plain forgot to go on stage. And the other actors are there like, okay, he's not coming. Let's improvise this whole scene around this mystery character who's not even... So I love that, though. I love...
What you have to do, yeah.
I've always thrived on pressure. And I think the pressure of theatre in a room full of 500 people... really sparks something in me in a way that film doesn't. I guess I still get excited by it, but theatre's...
The liveness.
Good word.
Yeah,
good word. You're edumacated.
Edumacated. I like that word. On the intranet.
I got my education.
Come get myself a boyfriend.
I love... my favourite thing about, as an actor, one of my favourite things is the stuff that goes wrong, because it is the best stories later on.
Absolutely, man.
When stuff goes wrong on stage, it's the most scariest thing. And I used to have actually a real phobia about forgetting my lines, and
right.
I would almost always forget them because I was scared of forgetting them.
Right.
And my brain would just like... it was like I was like self-sabotaging myself.
That's it.
And I really had to like go through a thing with myself, had to have a stern word, and be like... If it goes wrong, which it probably will because it's you, you can handle it. You can fix it, yeah. and you can improvise around it.
Just do what Sean Paul does when he's on X Factor and he forgets his lines for the song and he goes, Sean DePaul! And he goes, yoo-hoo! Sean DePaul!
I don't know if that would work for me if I'm in a play and I just start, if I just start going,
you never know,
Sean DePaul!
Johanna James.
Sean DePaul.
I love that. That is one of my favourite things with the forgetting your lines.
Yeah.
Because in terms of the pressure... There's no feeling that I arguably love more in theatre when you're listening to the other character's monologue and you know your response is coming up and you're just listening to them and in your head going, I don't know my line.
Yeah.
It's not there. It's gone. What's going to happen? This is not going to... And then it just magically comes out,
I know,
out of nowhere.
You panic. And I remember once coming and I opened the show, like the first night, and I was waiting.
Sean DePaul!
I was waiting in the wings to go onto the theatre and being like, okay, because once the show gets rolling,
yep.
The show ain't going to end until it finishes. Like, once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah, unless there's a fire.
Unless
it's going to happen.
Not even if there's a fire.
But I remember starting and I was very calm. I felt really, really good. And then I was walking onto the stage in my little stage heels. And then in my head, I went, I don't know what I'm saying. I cannot remember a single thing about this play.
Just
like,
going to stand silently on stage for 20 minutes and yeah. They can deal with it, right?
You know what's going to happen now? Next time you do something and you forget your lines, all you're going to be thinking is, Sean DePaul!
Sean DePaul!
And please do it. Please, if the opportunity arises, you just forget your lines and shout, Sean DePaul!
You've ruined me forever now. Like, if I ever work at the Globe, that's going to happen in the middle of Macbeth, you know?
Well, my friend, I had an actor friend who did a lot of Shakespeare, and right. I said, like, Shakespeare scared me for a while because I thought, if I forget my line, I can't ad lib because I don't know how to ad lib in
Shakespeare.
Yeah. In Shakespeare language. But he said, no, I've got that down, I'm fine. So he goes, if you do forget your line in a Shakespeare play, what you have to do is you have to turn to the person nearest to you as if they're supposed to speak next. And
okay.
You say, and therein lies the end. And you point to them and then you leave the stage.
Just screw over your partner, basically, right?
And basically, yeah. It sounds like the end of a chapter and the next person's just like, what? So that's how to deal with Shakespeare.
Awesome.
Johanna James.
I've learned something today. This is worthwhile. This is great.
We're
thank
all
you.
Learning.
You're welcome.
Adding
you
to my
welcome.
Technique. Thank you very much.
Maybe
I'm a better actor for coming here today.
I should start a Johanna James acting tips section on this on this show. But my favourite story that this guy, and I keep repeating this story because because I love it. I think he was performing somewhere quite prolific, like the National Theatre or something. Okay. But it was one of those theatres in the round.
Right.
So in a theatre in the round, it's kind of scary because there is no hiding anywhere. You can see everything from every angle. You're just in the middle, a circular stage in the middle of all the people. So in the scene, he was playing dual characters. So he'd run on as the manservant, being like, yes, my lord, of course, my lord. The horse and carriages have arrived, my lord. And then he'd run off stage, and then he would be doing all the sound effects for off stage. So like, clip-clop, clip-clop. So he was running off. And he said that he like ran onto the stage as the butler and just went and made the horse noise.
That's amazing.
And We've all done it.
He didn't know how to recover and just went, sorry, my lord. And like ran off again.
Like it was some involuntary spasm he had or something like that. Amazing.
But yeah, amazing. But I forgetting my lines, however funny it is, at the time, it's not funny.
Oh, it's terrifying. It's absolute blind terror.
Yeah, you panic. I actually hear that. You know when you're on a heart machine and it flatlines, I hear that in my head. I hear beep, and I'm just
Shout
like,
Paul. Thy shorn of the Paul of.
Thine shorn of the Paul of.
My lord.
My lord. I must see to my shorn of the Paul of. Right, okay. So I applaud people who do it. I've done theatre. I've done bits and bobs of theatre. I haven't really done a lot, and I really applaud people who do it because it does scare the crap out of me. And the last time I did try and do it, I did this like little scratch night, writing night thing for the Royal Court, and it was just a two-hander. And I hadn't done theatre in so long. I remember before I went on, I was getting myself so nervous, and I had a dialogue with myself in my head, and I sort of went, "What are you doing? You can't do what? Just go on, put your coat on. What are you doing?" And I literally was almost at the point of being like, "I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, this is a mistake.
This is a massive mistake. I've made a great error.
Is this not the ladies' room, have I?"
I'm like, this is not for me.
I'm actually a teacher. I'm not supposed to be here.
Sorry. But then I was like, my scene partner's been rehearsing as well. I can't leave him.
Yeah.
So I went out and I did it. And then we were doing a comedy thing, and obviously we were getting these live laughs. And then I suddenly relaxed and I remembered why the hell I do it. But the
absolutely
5 minutes,
terrifying.
5 minutes before, I was literally, what are you doing?
Have you ever seen that clip? It floats about like Facebook and stuff. It's like there's a black guy called Addy, and he's gone into the news, like the big BBC News interview or ITV News interview. But he's got the same name. He's just there to apply for the cleaning job. Right. Addy.
Oh, I've seen
that.
Yeah,
yeah. And he goes in to apply for the cleaning job. They get mixed. Oh, Addy's here for the show because there's another guy called Addy coming on to talk about computer science technology.
Oh my gosh!
And they sit him in the chair. He sat there. And they're like, "Hi, we're with Addy." Goes. You sit there, he's all like, ooh.
But live on the news,
just,
like,
he
live.
He goes with it, he runs with it. He just, like, does his best to try and pretend that he's that guy. And then he goes, okay, we've just found out that this is not Addy.
But he's amazing.
Yeah, he
went literally
with
see
it.
His eyes go, this isn't right. But he goes with it. And he's trying to answer their questions on something he has no idea about.
That's true.
It's
absolutely. Good
his
on him, man.
His face changes. Like, I'm not that Addy.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Here for the cleaning jumper.
True theatre. I love it. Right, we're going to pop to a song. And then afterwards, I think we should move on to a couple of unusual film facts. And
let's
things
do it.
And bits
let's
and bobs.
Do it.
So I'm going to go retro. Got some 80s, one of my favourite 80s movies, 16 Candles. This is If You Were Here by the Thompson Twins.
girl.
Synth girl. 80s.
I play synth.
I play synth.
We all play synth.
Ross plays synth.
Everyone played the synth in the 80s. Everyone played. If you didn't play synth in the 80s, you weren't a band,
basically.
Have you not
heard the Dickhead song?
I've not heard the Dickhead song.
I love the Dickhead song. All my friends are dickheads too. I play synth. We all play synth.
We're dickheads. Yeah, I love it.
I'm clearly missing out on that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Got one gear on my fixie bike. Got a plus one here for my gig tonight.
It's like a hipster parody on YouTube.
Right,
it's
okay. Okay.
The song's called Dickhead.
I need to check that out. Yeah, I will dickhead, check it out.
Yeah. I'm going to play that next week.
Yes.
Yes, Kev. Thank you. Right, so we're joined with Philadel in the studio.
Yo.
I'm going to go, because last week I wrote some unusual film facts.
Nice.
I didn't get to say on the show, so I'm going to say them now.
Do it.
While I've got airtime. So, did you know, we're going to just have a little talk about this. Samuel L. Jackson, he demanded that Snakes on a Plane was called Snakes on a Plane, and that title was not changed.
Really?
Because that was the only reason he accepted the role.
What was it going to be called then?
He didn't want it to be changed, so he said, if I come on board on the project, you have to keep it Snakes on a Plane.
But because you know what? I think he earned a lot of money that guy. I've had a goddamn motherfucking Snakes on a Plane. I think every time he said that, he earned money, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think so, really.
Yeah.
But so I don't know the question. What was it called before? Was it like a plane around a snake?
Yeah.
There may be a snake on this plane.
Reptiles in the air. I don't know. Like.
Anacondas on a jet plane.
That's number two. yeah, cool. In the film, National Treasure, National
good
Treasure.
Good film.
I love a bit of National Treasure.
Yeah, one and two.
So the good guys use Google, and the bad guys use Yahoo.
No way.
Whoa, controversial.
Why?
No, say
why?
What? Shit, just blow my mind.
Oh, hell no. I was hoping you would use that.
It's my favourite one.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's just a bit, I mean, you know, obviously, but I think probably.
But why?
Google. I don't know why. Would Yahoo agree to that?
I think they're like, Yahoo is bad.
It's evil Yahoo.
Yeah, it's conspiring to do bad things.
Brands do that, you know, because in Brotherhood, when we were making Brotherhood last year, Apple donated some phones and some laptops and stuff to be used to be in the film. But the condition was that they could only be used by the good characters.
Oh. Whoa.
And any of the baddies had to have like a Samsung or a BlackBerry.
That's amazing, is it?
Yeah, so only Apple could be shown if it was deemed a good character.
But obviously that'll translate into sales, otherwise they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
The idea that a bad character using an Apple iPhone will somehow reduce its sales seems stupid to me.
Pathetic.
But that's the rules, that they don't want the enemy guys using Apple.
Fair enough.
So in a behind the scenes factoid in Lord of the Rings, Elijah Wood has Alka-Seltzer tablets to foam himself at the mouth when he gets stabbed by Shelob. So
did Gandalf have an iPhone, and did Solomon maybe have
Solomon.
A Samsung?
Sauron.
Solomon.
I don't know.
Solomon.
You knew what I meant. Pick on me, don't pick on me. What's his name?
Saruman. Sauron, is it?
There's Sauron and
Solomon.
And there's also Solomon. Yeah, there is a
Solomon.
Is there a Solomon?
There's a Solomon, not Solomon.
Solomon.
Wait, guys,
right.
Help us here.
Yeah.
This is
email
what we need to use
in.
Google or Yahoo.
Email in.
Gandalf the Grey. Gandalf.
There's.
The what?
There's Sauron.
Yeah.
And then there is Solomon.
Solomon is the bad guy up in the tower.
He's like the bad wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Solomon.
Okay.
But you said Solomon, but anyway.
You did say Solomon, yeah. So yeah, don't pretend you were right now. Too late for that.
If
too
anyone
late.
Can clarify, just email on chill@fubarradio.com.
Sean DePaul!
That's his name, no.
Right, so in the film The Great Gatsby.
Good film.
The phrase, old sport.
Right.
Guess how many times it was used.
I'm going to go 112.
Okay. Any higher or lower, Phil?
111.
It was used 55 times.
55, sorry, I won.
Solomon, yeah. 110, that's fifth, the same thing.
55 times in the year. Hey, old sport.
Hey, old sport.
I think we should bring that back. We should try and use that.
Hey, old sport.
Hey, old
sport. Yeah, like a show catchphrase. Mm. That could totally work.
Thank you all
totally
listening.
Everyone that comes in, right, next time, right, every time it comes in, we just keep calling them sport. And yeah. don't mention that we're going to do it. Go, okay, how would you like, what do you think you're trying to advertise sport?
Yeah.
The old sport, just keep calling.
Oh, thanks, old sport.
Thanks, old sport.
So
do it so much that they think, what the fuck
is this place?
Top Gun, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Navy recruitment went up 500% the year that movie came out. Everyone went to the cinema and went,
yep, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be in the Navy.
Didn't you do that as a kid, though? You guys see that in the movie, you come out. I went and watched one of the Rush Hours when I was a kid when they first came out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Running the first one. We come out and we're all Jackie Chan after that. We're running around kicking lampposts.
Yeah, I'm going to go to karate and then you get your ass kicked. You're like, I'm not doing this again. Yeah.
I mean, that was one of my questions to you guys, actually. What would be the most influential movie in your life? Because I literally, as from a very young age, from 3 years old, I would go and I'd watch Mary Poppins or whatever, and I would go away. 10 minutes later, I'd be back. I'd be a brolly. I found a hat from somewhere, and I was just Mary.
This is
going to
sound really weird,
day.
But mine was actually, and this is from a young age, and it was. I'll tell you the story of how it became come about. Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Really?
Yeah, and I was about six.
That is a little.
And I'll explain the story. So I used to have three favourite films, right? And there was all, you know, remember the cassette you could copy off the TV.
You could record stuff off the TV.
So they taped over the Freddy Krueger movie, but they taped Dumbo and Michael Jackson Moonwalker movie.
I was going to say that was mine, weirdly.
That was my Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, Dumbo and Michael Jackson.
Yes.
They filmed over the Freddy Krueger, but it didn't film over it. It just had enough space to add two more to it.
Awesome.
So they'd stick the cassette in. Go on, Kevin, you go and watch it. I'd watch Dumbo, I'd watch Michael Jackson. Then I'd sit and watch Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger was my hero. I didn't kind of understand that he's running around killing all these people. I loved him. I had the toys with the claws. I had the jumper. I wanted to be Freddy Krueger.
This makes a lot of sense now that I know you.
I just met you. It really does.
Yeah.
So you go from playing Dumbo to Michael Jackson.
I called him Mickey Jackson because I couldn't pronounce
Mickey
Michael.
Mickey J.
Mickey Jackson. And then Freddy. Good old Freddy Krueger. My hero.
Wow.
I miss you, Freddy.
Wow.
Freddy was like a dad to me. Freddy's like my family.
And what about you, Phil?
I was honestly going to say Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, because as terrible a film as it is, anyone who knows me knows I love Michael Jackson. And you can ask my brother, I used to watch that tape.
What Michael
rewind
Jackson?
It. Huh?
What Michael Jackson, though?
Which version?
All Michael Jackson. I'm into all Michael
Jackson.
All shades of Michael Jackson. Every version of the rainbow Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, there is.
50 Shades of Michael Jackson. That's a weird film nobody needs to see. Please nobody make that film. But yeah, no, I watched that to death. And then, because I used to watch the Smooth Criminal bit in the middle, the extended Smooth Criminal, and that just made me want to sing, basically.
Yeah.
And that's, part of the reason I sing, I think. So.
I connected to the Michael Jackson movie because I think there was a little girl in there with a doll.
The blonde one.
Yeah, and
Annie. Annie, are you okay? I think she was called Annie.
Yeah. She was not okay.
She was not okay.
She was far from okay.
She was kidnapped, I think.
But I have like strong memories of that film, even though I didn't understand the film at all.
Right.
I just remember watching it. Most influential for me would either be, Mary Poppins. I would literally, my parents used to take me on a day trip out, but most kids would be like, where do you want to go? And I'd be like, St. Paul's Cathedral! And I'd go and feed the pigeons.
Didn't
no
we all
way.
Want to do that?
Feed the birds, nice
I
one.
I want to go feed the birds. And I wanted to like dress as a Victorian for like most of the time. I was really affected
That's
by
awesome.
That film. And then the next one, probably be.
I was obsessed with Arnold Schwarzenegger growing up, like kid.
Oh, yeah?
I was obsessed. Terminator.
Terminator.
Now I'm thinking about it, I was actually allowed to watch a lot of shit that I shouldn't have been allowed to
that's
watch.
That's an 18, you know, that film.
I was about 10, again,
you
probably
have
younger.
Words with your
probably
mother.
Younger.
Jeez, man.
I was I'm thinking about it now, I was allowed to watch a lot of. I was exposed to a lot of TV that I shouldn't have been from young.
Hence all those Asbos, though.
Hence being I've got, I'm not allowed to go 100 feet from.
Sarah Connor.
Gemma Arterton.
No, I love the fact that there's films. Well, that's the whole point of film, enjoying it, but also just they can have such an effect on
totally.
You.
Totally. Oh, do another one, Back to the Future. I watched Back to the Future 1, 2 and 3 to death. And still to this day, I don't think I'll be pacified until I own a DeLorean. Like, if I ever get rich enough, I'm getting a DeLorean.
Marty,
we've got
to get the DeLorean at 88 miles an hour. We gotta go back to the future, Marty!
What?
You're sounding more like Rick and Morty at this point.
Yeah. Oh, I love that cone! That's the, Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty's quality.
Burp, you keep burping, burp. Have you seen that, Rick and Morty? Oh, it's
good. You need to see it.
I just found out the other day, we were driving along in the car, and I found out my boyfriend had never seen a single Back to the Future. And
what?
I was like, what? Get out the car!
No, that's going to make for a great weekend, though.
But I mean, I'm going to try and educate him. And
yeah, he's not seen
totally.
It. He's not seen anything. What was we speaking about before? And he was like, never seen it. And was like, what? I remember.
Yeah, there's a lot of things he hasn't seen.
Mm.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
We'll bring him.
He's lived under a rock.
Well,
in the desert.
He's from the Middle East, but that's a little far. Okay.
A little racy, but okay.
Go to the Kevin corner. Go to the Kevin corner. Okay, right. Moving on with my Pumbaa from The Lion King was the first character to fart in any Disney movie.
Really?
Factoid.
Well, it always comes up, Lion King. Did you know the
Yeah, I did actually. Weirdly enough, I'd come across that.
Okay, hold on, bear with me.
Put your teeth in.
Lion King was actually complete.
What is happening?
I'm a brainstorm.
What is happening?
I'm not well. Bear with me, guys.
Do you want me to drive this one?
Please do.
Okay, so The Lion King was a. Oh my god, it's happened to me!
Shut the ball! The Lion King was a rip-off of another cartoon called Kumba. Kimba the White Lion.
Was it really?
It was a movie. It was a cartoon or a movie from like the 50s.
Yeah.
And when the guy died, who wrote it, the Chinese fella, or
it was an anime.
It was completely plagiarism.
Disney doing something unethical. But I mean, that's opened my eyes. You know,
Disney was quite. It was quite a bad man.
That's pretty. Yeah.
You bad boy.
Bad man.
So, Disney. They've recently come to light now because they found letters between production house and they accidentally called Simba Kimba.
What?
In one of the bits. They were like, we need to change Kimba's head there or whatever.
They could have disguised it better though. Do you know what I mean?
That's what
literally
I say.
Changed
even,
the letter.
Even
like,
the scenes,
come on.
All the scenes.
Call him Tim.
Like
something.
The scene when he sat with his dad on the rock.
Scene for scene, it's almost
scene.
The same.
What?
It's crazy.
Google it. Don't Yahoo it. Google it.
I'm a good guy, so
on
I will
iPhone.
Google it.
Your iPhone.
Yoda is actually modelled on Albert Einstein.
No.
Really?
Which is why there is some similarities.
Have you seen the bad lip sync with Yoda?
No.
There's a new one. Just you haven't seen it either. Mm-hmm. You need to watch that. It's
I do like them bad
sync. Just type bad lip syncing Yoda and seagulls, and it'll make your evening. You're welcome. I'm going to leave that with you.
Great weekend,
thank
guys.
You.
Great weekend.
Have you seen that? It's not a lip sync, but it's they've put Bricktop from Snatch over Darth Vader.
What?
Oh, it's the best. It's
quality.
Give me the fucking sugar. You've got to see it.
They've done the same with Darth Vader with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they take quotes from his other films. And
who
put
is
them
your
over
daddy, and what does he do?
Exactly that.
Get to the chopper!
It's exactly that, and it's brilliant. As good as it sounds. Yeah, it's quality.
Talking about Back to the Future, the time-travelling machine, the DeLorean, in the original script was supposed to be a refrigerator.
I did know that.
That would have been shit.
Yeah.
Get in the fridge, Barney!
Get the fridge to 88 miles an hour, Ronnie!
minus 88 degrees!
Minus 88 degrees. Oh, man.
this is a bit of a weird... Twilight Zone real life film thing.
Ooh.
So in 1898, which is 14 years before Titanic actually happened, the real Titanic event, Morgan Robertson wrote a novel called Futility, which is about a large ship called the Titan that hits an iceberg and sinks in the Atlantic Ocean.
What?
Yeah. That's
You've
gotta
be shitting
and
me.
That is crazy.
It was published 14 years before Titanic, and it was called The Titan, and it's hit an iceberg.
That
and
is nuts.
How nuts is that?
That is crazy. I blame him now for the whole thing.
Morgan Robertson.
Was there a scene where she goes, "I'm flying, Jack"?
That didn't happen in the real Titanic.
Probably not.
Says who?
Well, that's true.
Was you there?
No.
Was you there?
I was not.
We can't prove it or disprove it, can we? That's the thing.
I was about to say I was not there, unfortunately. And I was like, actually, I'm very fortunate that I was not on the Titanic.
Was it not? I thought it was a documentary.
Docudrama.
Oh,
that's the end of my unusual.
I thought it was live. A live stream of the Titanic.
What could go wrong?
That's the
Shonda Paul.
That's the end of my unusual facts for this week.
Very good. Very good.
Would you like to play a game, Phil, before... We have to say
goodbye. I will be terrible at your game, but I will happily play it.
So as it's nearly Christmas,
yay,
I've got some Christmas movie quotes.
Okay.
And I'm going to see any of you guys know how much you know your Christmas films. So think of a buzzer in your head. It can be whatever you want.
Do we need a buzzer?
So you can just be like, dab, or whatever.
Dab.
If you want to do a dab.
I'm not cool enough for dab.
Nah.
I'm going to go with the Wayne's World swing.
Okay, you can swing. And what's your buzzer?
Bazinga!
Okay. Bazinga. Nice.
Right, okay, so we're going to give this a go.
No, wait. So I'm going to rephrase that. Sean DePaul.
It has to be, man.
Got to be.
Okay, so the Christmas movie quote. Here we go. We're gonna play and pause and see how we go. So if you know it,
We're guessing the film or the character or what?
Guess the film it's from.
So this is the theme tune from a film.
So not theme tune. It's movie quotes. You're not listening.
We're so good at this already. This is going to go really well.
Okay, let's just give it a look. Let's take a
hands on buzzer.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped,
Jesus.
Worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
I need to see that film. I have no
it's
idea what
amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. It's called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I've seen it.
Right.
Seen it.
And it's one of my favourite.
I would have never guessed that.
Oh my God. It's always one of the most famous movie quotes ever.
I've never seen Apparently. It. I've never even heard of it.
I wonder
National
if it was...
Lampoon's. National it's got that Lampoon. Guy in it.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, I know who he is.
That was Chevy Chase going absolutely ballistic.
Was it going ballistic? I missed that bit.
I'm going to make that my ringtone.
Dickless, helpless.
I'm going to make that my buzzing noise.
Right, okay. What about the next one?
See, I know that you left the workshop. You know, we're all laughing our heads off.
Tring.
Did you have to borrow a ring?
Is that elf?
It is! Like,
yes.
Well done!
Back to
nice.
The base. Hey, Jackweed, I get more action in a week than you've had your entire life.
Oh, he's a bad
I've got
elf.
Houses.
He's an angry
LA,
from the South
Paris.
Yeah, he uses Yahoo.
It's one of them with a 70-inch plasma screen. So I suggest you wipe that stupid smile off your face before I come over there and smack it off. You feeling strong, my friend? Call me Elf one more time.
These are very aggressive Christmas films.
They are.
Holy shit, what a freak! I will work!
Sean DePaul!
What?
Scrooge?
Yes, it is!
Oh, man.
That's 1 point
man.
Each!
I should have got that one. I should have got that one.
Good film, good film.
Yeah, it's a good film.
I haven't seen it in ages. It's quality.
Nah, yeah,
quality.
Same.
Bill Murray, isn't it?
Yeah. Been a good year.
Yo, what am I
December, Christmas.
I'm alive!
Bill okay. Murray, that's his name.
There you go.
Number
that's
four.
Santa rolling down the block in a Panzer. Well, kids, I certainly hope you've been good this year, because it looks like Santa just took out the Pearson home. It's coming!
Tring. Is it yep. Jingle All the Way?
No.
What about the reindeer?
Sean DePaul? Bad
reindeer
Santa?
And Santa? No. Santa and a reindeer? It's kind of a package deal.
It's the Santa Claus.
I never would have got that.
What I'm going to do tomorrow.
Never
and the next day, and
oh,
next
number
year,
five.
And
number
the year
five.
After that, I'm shaking the dust of this crumbling.
Tring,
little
it's a wonderful life.
My feet and I'm going to
no?
see
yes,
the world.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Italy,
sorry.
Don't shake your head at me.
I shook my head, but I meant to not.
You're so wrong that you're right.
See what they know, and then I'm going to build things.
I love this film.
Yeah, it's quality.
I was late to the party on this film.
100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long.
I think you're allowed to be late to that party because you weren't alive at the time.
But I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh. Fudge.
Pornhub?
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word. The big one. The queen mother of dirty words. The F-dash-dash-dash word.
What did you say?
I know the Family Guy parody of this. I don't know what it is.
It's A Christmas Story.
No idea.
Number
seven. Ma'am, I'm 8 years old.
Tring,
hold on.
Alone.
Both say it at the same time. Hold on.
I went, no, I did that.
Okay, 1 point to Phil.
Boom.
He's at work.
What about your brothers and your sisters?
I'm an only child. Where do you live? I can tell
such
you
such a good film.
Right now. Film.
Such a good film.
Sure. Good
stranger.
Because you're a stranger. Number eight.
Your Honor, every one of these letters is addressed to Santa Claus. The post Tring. Office
Miracle
delivered them.
Street.
Well done, Phil.
Therefore, the post office
fuck
department,
you, Phil.
A branch of the federal
I'm not allowed back, am I? I'm never allowed back.
Kringle, to be the one and only Santa Claus.
Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed.
Okie dokie, number
trying to
9.
Find the turbomen doll.
Me too.
Do you have any more in the back? What? You see that?
These guys are looking for a Turbo Man?
A Jungle
Man,
yes.
Sure,
Jingle
yeah.
All the Way.
You got it. He got it.
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, I'm going to give that to Kevin.
I said it like 10 minutes ago, so that totally counts.
Okay, for the final round.
Turbo Man!
Soon as I Turbo Man, I knew.
Yeah.
It's on the Schwarzenegger.
You have a 55-inch plasma TV in your room?
Santa got it for me Number for 10. Christmas last year.
Yeah, well, the big guy in the red suit's not looking out for your future.
Sean DePaul.
You're hooked on that thing. I can see it now.
Dave Claus. 16,000
bags of Cheetos later.
No, the brother,
you wake up
though.
At 35, yep. You're overweight. You're climbing
brother,
your
no, Dave Claus.
What's he called?
I did you a favor.
You I get have no idea.
Play around,
I have no
make
idea.
Dave Claus. Play kick the can, do some brother. Athletic stuff. You go to school. You're...
I'm going to... It's Fred Claus.
Fred Claus.
Oh,
okay,
man.
If I give you that...
What did I say? Dave Claus.
If I
Dave Claus. That's Sebastian Claus.
That's 3 points each. That's a draw. Phil,
fair enough.
You'll have
I'm
to
happy
return
with that. I am happy
time.
With that.
Do oh no, we can't do like a
tiebreaker.
Like, yeah,
a tiebreaker.
Fight to the death.
Yeah. A knife each. One arm behind your back.
That's extreme. Well, Phil, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you.
All the best of luck with your future. Well, you seem
thank
very
you.
Busy, so you don't need
yeah.
luck.
Can I quickly plug
yeah,
my podcast?
Plug what you want to do.
I have my own podcast with a guy called Chris Keegan. It's called A Whole Lot of Nothing. On Twitter, it's at Lot of Nothing CP. Check it out. We talk geek culture, films, movies, music, stupid headlines from around the world, everything. Check it out. Also, ReverbRoom.com is my music review website. If you like rock music, check it out and enjoy.
I know. Your podcast is great. You. You got a good radio voice, though. So,
thanks. Thanks.
When I get on the radio, I get a little bit like this. When I'm not on the radio, it's all right. You know what I mean, bro? Changes. Changes.
Just like that. Just like that.
Right. We're gonna get the energy up here because it's Friday.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Gonna play the Notorious B.I.G. It's Hypnotized. It's Background and Chill.
Good tune.
Good tune.
Off instinct, niggas don't think shit. Stink pink gators, my Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, if the head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us. Screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pump. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily.
Take that.
Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace.
Come
keep
on,
my man. Peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace.
Thank
with
you,
my peace, packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 uh-huh. can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, DC, prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with a booty boy the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? Them niggas ride dicks. Frank White push sick called the Lexus LX. 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gon' blast squeeze first. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so called gangsters pass. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and broads. Tits and bras, menage a trois. Sex and expensive cars. I still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment, no for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay true. Richer than richer, so you niggas come and kick.
Come on.
Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. Escargo, my cargo, 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, 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 your crew run, run. I know you sick of this name brand. Nigga with flows, girl, stay heat. Sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bit. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rough, that's Persian. Come up to your job, hit you while you're working. For certain, pop a freaking, not speaking. Leave the ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe. Dick black like Kobe, watch me roam like Kobe. Lucky they don't owe me, where to say show me, homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back.
Oh, a little bit of...
It was continuing. I didn't know what happened there. Sorry, apologies. It's Friday. It's Back Row and Chill with Johanna James, Kevin Freshwater. We've got our final guest in the studio.
Woo!
Woo! It's Marissa Koneski. Is that how you...
That's brilliant.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for coming in today. And you've literally run here from the rehearsal studio, you've just been saying.
Yes, we have just done our final blood rehearsal.
Oh, a blood rehearsal. What does that mean?
She sacrificed a goat.
Yes. Well, it's more interesting than that. Okay. But we in our show, we put a woman back together. We don't cut her in half. We do the opposite of the traditional illusion. And we just had to have a wet rehearsal, which was with the blood. It's not real blood in this particular scene. So we did the wet. The last rehearsal was the wet blood rehearsal.
The wet
We've
run.
Been working up to it.
Because a wet run normally means that you drink in the scene, like really drink. So if you're doing a play where in the scene people are having alcohol, if you do a wet run, it's a rehearsal with actual alcohol.
Good times.
The scene normally just falls apart, but it's quite fun.
I always watch the thing that when I'm watching TV, that they real, is that real alcohol they're
no.
drinking?
No.
No.
It'd be apple juice and whatnot.
Well, that's ruined it for me.
Mm-hmm. So you have got a show at the Soho Theatre that is literally about to start. If you'd like to let our listeners know what it's about and what you're doing.
Well,
you're putting a woman back together.
Yes, it's a very special show for the festive period. And when I say the festive period, I mean the festive menstrual cycle. So it's a little bit of a controversial show.
Mm-hmm. We like controversial.
It is a comedy. It's called Dr. Karneski's Incredible Bleeding Woman. And I am currently qualifying as a real doctor.
I was just about to say, it says doctorate. I was going to say, have you actually got a PhD?
I have. And this is my doctorate. Well, I'm just finishing my thesis.
Oh, wow.
I'm a doctor of performance art. Let me make that plain.
Okay, right.
As opposed to medicine.
Ouch!
I've got a little rash. Could you cover a little bit for me?
But the whole show is about reinventing menstrual rituals. And it isn't just a show for women, because we look at the whole idea of the human body and its cycles. It's a pastiche of a anthropology lecture that all starts to turn into a strange witchy ritual that then starts to turn into a really cheesy 1980s magic show. And we reverse all the roles and we have some incredible performers. So we have one of the only female hair hangers in the world. She hangs by her hair. That's Fancy Chance. And we have one of the only female sword swallowers in the world.
Kevin's eyebrows just raised.
And we have a very interesting story about the sword swallower, because she actually had an accident. Her name is Miss Blue, and she grazed her esophagus.
Ooh.
Bloody hell.
And when she went to the hospital, she asked her fellow sword swallowers around the world, and it turns out that when you menstruate, apparently your esophagus swells up a bit. And so women sword swallowers are at a higher risk of injuries.
Wait, when you say she's the only one in the country, or one of the only ones, how many is there? Do they have a union?
Well, I think they probably do. It's a very small gang around the world.
Because I remember seeing one girl when I was younger. She had long brown hair, and she gargled oil, first of all, which was pretty gross. And then she just, the whole sword gone.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's
could be the same lady that I saw as a child.
I don't think so. This is quite a young lady.
Okay.
But she's going to swallow a different size sword in relation to the different days of her menstrual cycle. So she's got a little one so that she doesn't hurt herself.
Yeah.
And a big one on the big day. So
Don't swallow swords on your period.
Is she fond of a big one?
Well, she would be very upset with that comment, because I think for her it is a great... ancient art form, and it's all about defying death. It's not about giving good blowjobs.
No one was thinking that.
I think blowjobs are defying death, personally, but no, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I thought that sword swallowing was an illusion. I didn't know people
actually put it into
their body and then out again. Oh, I have a little bit of a phobia about sharp objects and swords and knives and things, so that making me feel really funny. breathe. Got the water.
There's lots of knives, lots of blood, but all done with very odd humour. We take on kind of lots of the images from classic horror movies like Carrie and mm-hmm. The Exorcist, and we look at this whole thing that we have this obsession in our culture with covering women in blood.
Yeah.
And my theory is that it's not because we want to see lots of murdered women, but that we have an ancient, deep kind of connection with the idea of women and blood, and it's from these early menstrual rituals that are, in a sense, what you could say are the origins of magic and the origins of witchcraft.
Yeah. Mm. And sacrificing virgins.
Well, no,
is that an Egyptian thing? Because someone used to sacrifice virgins, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I think
to please the gods.
I guess we're coming more from the point of view that women went on a sex strike from men in early human culture, and they said, we're not going to have sex with you because we're menstruating, and you can't have sex until you bring us back meat.
Ah.
And then we're going to put our menstrual blood on
so
our
fingers.
So
you've been using it as a tool from yes. early.
It's the original strike.
Oh, wow. Sex strike.
It's the sex strike.
Yeah.
And it's so menstruation, in a sense, you could say created human culture on some levels, because it created people saying, I want this is my time, you go over there and give me this or I won't give you that.
Oh, wow, makes a lot of sense, because like we've all lived it as
they just remind me of a film, and the name has escaped me, and because it's a foreign film, so I'm not sure what it translates to in English, but I'm going to find it. It was made semi-recently, and about a group of women in, I think, Iran, in the high mountains, and they have to go and carry these, like, their job is to get the water and go up, and even when they're on the periods, and it's all horrible. And then they go on a sex strike in the village to basically say to the guys, you need to carry the water because it's not fair that we're doing this and doing that. And so the film is about the sex strike that all the women wow. get in, and they're like, we're not going to do it, everybody has to stay strong, and the men just go absolutely mental.
It's been an important part of women's power throughout time, the sex strike, for many reasons. But I think even in the recent marches, I think it was Black Monday, against the Polish abortion ban.
Mm.
I think that the women in Poland went on sex strike. They said, no sex if you're not going to let us have abortions.
Oh, wow.
I think there was a connection with sex strike. I have to check that with my colleagues who are part of that movement.
I've never heard of it before. I've never heard of an actual strike.
Sex strike.
Form of women's protest, the earliest forms of protest.
And then burning bras as well, that happened.
Yes, that's...
That definitely happened.
Connected.
I think it definitely works. It only works if everyone does it, though. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You've got to, like, do it together. Sex strike together.
Oh, there's that one lady that's like...
I'm free!
Line up, boys.
Yes, it's about women's solidarity. And that's kind of what we play with in the show. We look at... And we have all different kinds of women in our company. So some of the women in our show were not born women. So we have a bit of a queer perspective also on what it is to recognise the importance of your body's cycles, and how perhaps it's been disrespected throughout the history of time, and we need to readdress that and say this is a really important, interesting cultural mm-hmm. thing. There's many goddesses and archetypes that are actually menstrual and we don't really realise it.
And how did the show sort of form? Did you put it together, or like, through your...
It is my doctorate.
Oh, wow.
I'm a magician and bit of a comedian, sort of, in a very obscure performance art way.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this idea to do a doctorate and to... I guess I was looking at a lot of horror films and looking at a lot of representation of women and blood and looking at a lot of the protests that were going on around the world. And there's some great, you know, Pussy Riot and Femen all these amazing groups of women that are kind of... There's a Sangre Menstrual in Spain, and there's a kind of a rise in menstrual activism, if you like, and people saying, you know, this has been ignored for too long, and why is it taboo? Why is it thought of as dirty? Why is it thought of as disgusting? It's my body. Why do I have to have an advert with blue liquid and pretend it doesn't happen? And so many young girls have shame, and so many people are repressed around their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked into anthropology and realised that it's actually a really huge, important part of culture that we've kind of hidden and closed. And as I say, is kind of the basis of lots of very famous myths, like Medusa is a menstrual myth, funnily enough.
Oh, with this lady with the snakes?
Yes.
Turns men to stone.
When she's on her period.
Oh, it's only on her period.
Yes.
I don't know that.
That's her, because it's the kind of... There's a lot of theories to suggest that it's the origins of witchcraft and magic, and that when women got together on the dark moon, not the full moon, this is what happened in early human culture. People would go, the women would go on sex drive on the dark moon inside a cave somewhere, possibly, or inside their own hut, and they would kind of unionise and menstruate together. And that power, that creative power that they had at that time collectively.
When there was a full moon? Or the blood,
no,
the
dark,
blood,
dark moon.
Oh, the blood moon or the dark moon?
Dark moon. And or new moon. And then when you ovulate, when the full moon comes, and then that's when you have your party and have sex, and when your meat comes back. But obviously gender has changed and we're a bit more fluid than that now.
But it is weird. I remember when I found out that...
I'm learning so much about vaginas.
But did you know that girls... You must know that girls who live closely together... Or
they share,
close,
they share.
They synchronise.
Yeah.
How?
It's going back to what...
witchcraft. That's what the show is about. Yes. So you've just put your finger on it. So we, in the show...
You need to go to a cave.
Yes, well, we look at the theory that, you know, there was research to suggest in the 70s that women synchronise when they live together. And my theory, adding to that, is that it's not just living together, but you have to perform menstrual rituals. So we got together in Southend, of all places, the lovely English seaside town, and we decided to reinvent menstrual rituals, me and my gang. And they're all very funny, interesting cabaret artists that work in the circus. So we were doing all these crazy things, like dressing up as cheerleaders covered in blood and running around the beach screaming, and all these people in Windsor were walking by with
strange
their dogs.
Bunch as well, strange bunch of people.
Yeah. So we had these films, and it's you know, the whole thing is very tongue in cheek, but it's also very serious, and it's kind of a parody of a really serious performance art project, but it is a really serious performance art project. So it's a kind of many things at the same time, but there are many films of us doing really bizarre menstrual rituals in Southend. But so the theory is
did you synchronise as well?
We did, and some amazing things happened, which we reveal in the show. And there are some interesting people in the show, some new people in the show that were the result of the
babies.
Research. Yes.
Oh wow!
We have a baby live in the show. We had to get a baby license the other day.
Oh wow! To perform.
So who do you approach to get a baby license?
The local council.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We need a license for the baby.
Oh, sorry. So you need a baby license.
Yeah, and you need to have it MOT'd once a year, insured.
Personally, I think everyone should have a license to have a baby.
I think so too. Yeah. I think you shouldn't just have a baby because you want a baby. That's just my opinion. I think that's quite selfish. I want a baby. Have you got a house? Have you got enough money to pay for this child?
Ooh, that's responsible Kevin that's a coming whole, out yeah. here. No, that's amazing. Oh, we're slightly out of time, but I mean, thank you so much. So people did fancy a little bit, you know, time out from all the Christmas stuff, and they want to go into the more wacky menstrual show.
Yes.
So it starts on Tuesday.
And it runs until the 7th of January.
Oh, right the way through the festive period.
We
that's
are
cool.
the panto.
Blood panto.
Exactly.
Vaginas.
Vaginas. This is amazing. So, and tickets are £10, Soho Theatre. Have you got plans to bring it on further on? And
yes, we would love to tour it all over the world and spread our message. But the most important thing is we've started an activist movement, and you can find us on Facebook. We are the Menstronauts.
I was about to say, your social media platforms.
And you can join us and perform menstrual rituals on the dark moon and reinvent menstrual rituals and reclaim women's power, women's time, by joining the Menstronauts and coming with us. We're like SantaCon, but we're all menstruating instead.
Amazing. All right, thank you so much. That's been brilliant. We're gonna pop to a song, and then we're going to come back for the last couple of minutes of the show.
Amazing.
So
learned a lot in that.
I've
learned a lot.
I feel like maybe we should do something and we'll sync you and me up menstrually.
You have a boyfriend, Johanna.
Menstrually. All right, babe. Okay, this is Barbara O'Reilly, The Who. It's also the theme tune to CSI.
Nice. Thank you.
going to have to come back in. Because it's nearly the end of the show. Oh my God, that was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. What a crazy, crazy show. But
I feel educated about vaginas now.
I am educated about, and I'm a girl. I didn't know that crap about periods.
I might go to the ministry.
Should we go? I think we should go.
Just to watch and learn more.
You know, but I think blood might make me a bit queasy, but I don't know. Right, I've got a couple of last factoids I want to squeeze in the show before the weekend officially begins. Did you know that Harry Potter factoid here, Severus Snape, was based on J.K. Rowling's real chemistry teacher,
ooh,
who was called John Nettleship. And apparently he was just like Snape, and so it inspired the whole character. Yeah. And she wrote about him. Also, this is all a bit little like baddie factoids. Ursula from The Little Mermaid was copied and like drawn. There was a drag queen called Divine who appeared in Hairspray and other things. And sadly, she passed away before the movie.
Those poor unfortunate souls.
Oh my God, I want to watch Little Mermaid
now.
Yeah,
me too.
Love that film.
I like that shit.
That film came out the year we were born.
Ooh,
it did.
Fun facts
of the day. So that was cool. So thank you, Kevin, for coming in.
Thank you. I enjoy it every time.
And being on the show. Absolutely wicked. What a laugh.
Sean DePaul!
And thank you guys for listening. We will be back for the last show of the year next week, 16th of December. But we'll be back in the new year, back around chill. And Noel, hopefully, should be back a little bit more when he's finished being famous. right, so I'm going to go for my final song, which is from... I haven't seen the film yet, but I've listened a lot to the album of Moana, the new Disney film. It's called Dwayne Johnson. And it's about that sort of Hawaiian...
I tried to watch it the other night, but it wouldn't let me.
Oh, online.
I mean, what?
I mean, the cinema was
what?
Shut.
I mean, what?
No, so this is one of the songs from Moana, and we opened the show, if you're interested, with one of the other songs from Moana. So I thought we'd close. It's How Far I Go by Alicia Cara. Thanks so much, guys. Have a fantastic weekend.
I love you more.
Bye. I love you more.
I love you more.
I actually love you more.
I love you more. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Staring at the edge of the water, long as I can remember, never really knowing why. I wish I could be the perfect daughter, but I come back to the water, no matter how hard I try. Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know where I cannot. Mine.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.